and welcome to Rick's Martini Bar. This is Jerry McCarty here with Rick Farmelo and Amanda Raymond. Welcome. Cheers. And our special guest this week is CBS executive Grant Anderson.
Hello, everybody.
And he's here for, he works on CBS with great shows like CSI and NCIS. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we're not here to talk about that.
Never mind. Try to forget about that.
Those are doing fine on their own.
Yeah.
Work aside.
We're going to talk about the Three Stooges. And I guess I'll do a CBS because Rick brought out the, Coors beer. Three Stooges.
This is from about 1980. I was at Disney when I got this. I went to a liquor store and saw this, and you got to give me that. And he's like,
is that right?
No, we need to sell. I said, I'll give you, how much do you want for it? He said, give me $5.
Wow.
So I gave the liquor store guy $5 just to get this out of the window.
It's a Coors ad with the Three Stooges from Three Little Pigskins,
yep.
Which I'm going to do my CBS thing. Was filmed on Gilmore Field, which was torn down in the 50s for CBS.
Mm-hmm.
Television network, yeah. Television City.
Right.
Yeah. Down. And I'm going to give another one. In that movie, Lucille Ball is in that movie,
she's
right? Who is a CBS legend.
That's right.
And in there. So that's our CBS
tie-in.
Yeah. So we'll roll with that. And I do. Every time I'm down there at that farmer's market, I always think about that, Three Little Pigskins.
That's a great one, too.
Great
yeah,
role.
That's
great.
A good one.
And I have no idea how they filmed that. It must have been hilarious to watch them. Camera
I love
tracks.
To see outtakes. You know?
But anyway, so let's talk about the Three Stooges and what they meant and what they meant to comedy. And Rick had the pleasure of interviewing...
In 1980, I met and interviewed Jules White.
Did a ton of them.
Who produced all of them. He directed a lot of the early ones and a lot of the ones with Shem. But he produced all of them. He also worked with Buster Keaton and Charlie Chase and a lot of legendary comics. And so a friend and I, we just looked his name up on the phone. It's a typical story of like, we just looked his name on the phone and there he was, you know, that kind of thing. He lived in North Hollywood. And we called him up and said, we'd love to come and talk to you. And we're big Three Stooges fans. This guy was about 80 at the time. I was like, oh, I don't know. He's kind of like, I didn't want to do it. And then the more we talked to him, he's like, oh, okay, why don't you come over? We set up a date. Came over on a Saturday. And he's like, yeah, I don't have a lot of time, you guys. I'm kind of busy. And he's 80. Busy for what? Anyway, so... we turned the tape recorder on, just started asking him questions, and we went on for 4 hours.
Wow.
Just kept changing tapes. He goes, okay, let's wrap this up, guys. And then we'd say, okay. And he goes, and then you start talking about something else. So I have an edited, like, 4 hours of tapes with Jules White.
Wow.
Just talking about the Three Stooges. He talked about Lucille Ball. He talked about Buster Keaton. He talked about the early days of Hollywood, because he started in the teens.
Yeah.
As a really young guy, being a film... cleaner, like you dip the film in the vat, basically. Yeah. Anyway, it was fascinating talking to him. So,
the time that the Three Stooges went, I mean, when did they start?
Well, with Ted Healy as a vaudeville act, and then later on, I mean, when they started with Columbia, which is really the great run, was 33.
33. So then 33.
Yeah, and without Ted.
And they were going to film, right?
Actually, Teddy went in 34 after Shem rejected.
Right.
He said he was a drunk and he was a racist.
Shem didn't want to come out to California to do the films because he didn't like Ted Healy. He said, I'm not going to go. I'm going to stay in New York. And so Curly, that's when Curly joined the team. And that's when you see on the early films, Curly's the third Stooge. But actually, the original guy was Shem.
That's right. That's right.
Wow. So then, and it went all the way until... Larry died, right? Because they were going to film one before Larry...
Yeah, Emil Sitka was actually taking over for Larry after.
Because he had a stroke,
right? Yeah, that's right.
Stroke,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow. Stroke of luck.
But what year would that? That would have been...
It was the early 70s, I think.
71 is when Larry...
I mean, that is incredible, that amount of time.
Well,
they
filmed
it.
I don't know if you've seen this. I remember a video of it. They filmed like a pilot called... what was it called? Kook's Tour.
Right.
With Joe DiRita, Larry, and Mo, and the idea was they were going to go on these vacations.
Right.
And that was the premise of the show. They just filmed one of them. They were fishing. It's really stupid.
Right.
It's kind of bad, but it's like it's kind of cool to see them the last time all three of them together.
Yeah.
And that was before. And then once Larry had his stroke, that kind of like kind of put the kibosh on that.
But, yeah.
So what was the charm that kept that going for 40 years? more than 40 years.
You know, I mean, we all have different opinions. I mean, I think for me, that was the very first thing I ever saw on television. I was about 2 or 3 years old, and that's my first memory of television, the Simon Three Stooges. And I think when you're really young, just that, it's such a visual thing.
Yeah.
It's strictly a visual, and they, you know, they obviously, they didn't do a lot of, it wasn't a lot of catchy dialogue.
No.
Three Stooges.
It was
strictly visual, simple stuff, and I think that just, that resonates with you when you're little.
Yeah, as a kid, it's really engaging. I mean, that's what you're looking for. Not paying attention to dialogue.
You're like
it's
kids.
Visuals is what that's
yeah,
so
you're really all like kids.
Yeah.
Well, that was, they were like kids, and it's like, we met, Mousy Gardner, right? Mousy Gardner at the, and he told us that when they wanted it, when they were looking for the next Stooge, Joe DiRita, and then Joe Besser and all those guys, one of the requirements was 5'5".
Right, they had to be short.
Because those guys were all, they were like, you know, they played the three blind mice.
That's right.
They were like three mice. Yeah. They were like just run around and run around.
Well, I think everybody, no matter, you know, what age they are, has their memories of the Stooges, and they are young memories. I mean, I remember as a kid, Sunday morning, if you get out of going to church, was all about, in Southern California, was you got up and at 7 you watched, or 6 you watched the Stooges on KTLA.
And Tom Hatton.
And then you watched Tom Hatton and Popeye. And then if you had to go to church, you went to church and you got back in time for the family film.
Yes.
That's the way it worked. But you did miss the Stooges.
Exactly.
That was the one thing that, and the first part of Popeye, you know, you want to get your squiggle drawn.
Yes.
And that kind of stuff. But, but Stooges were always there, and I remember as a kid too, that opening, you know, the opening Columbia, you know, main title, you'd hear the lead up and you're waiting for the three portraits to come up, and it was always like, be curly, be curly, be curly.
Yeah!
And,
oh
then,
my God,
and then if they came up Shemp, you were sort of disappointed, but then if it came up Joe Besser, you were like, oh, I'm done. You're turning, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Seriously, if it wasn't curly, I would not watch it.
Yeah.
I can't do it without
it. Well, I actually think Shemp is really, really funny. But the problem when Shemp came along, the budgets were really, really low, and they were starting to cut back on stuff. They were starting to reuse old scripts and old footage.
Yeah.
Like Jules White was telling us, he said, you know, the budgets never went up.
You know,
they got lower. We had to just use old, we had to use stock footage. That's why they looked, that's why the plots were the same. And you said, wait, didn't I see that in another one?
And they had to. And they said they would call them, like, if they were filming something else, if there was time, you know, a breakdown or somebody was gone for a week, they're like, get in there and film something real quick.
Sure. Right, yeah.
He's upset.
They had these standing sets of, like, castles. And they're like, hey, man, they're just filming. Whatever. They never called me, was filming over there.
Right. Get in there.
Take some for the Stooges. Hurry up. So they filmed, like, three of them in a row. Of, like, castle stuff with their knights and whatever, you know.
He's the original Star Trek.
He was those steps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so that, and then there's, I mean, if you go to YouTube, there's great stuff on there. There's the interview with Larry. There's Mo on the Mike Douglas Show.
With his gray bowl cut.
With the bowl cut. I mean, which was like 70, I mean, that was in the 70s, right?
He's wearing kind of a hip suit, too.
And he was like in there, and he's kind of coherent. He knows what's going on.
He's cool. I remember him teaching Mike Douglas how to throw pies. It's probably like, what's his name? The guy who was on Medical Center.
Chad Everett?
He was like a guest. Yeah. So he was like with a guest. And they're like teaching how to... Teach
which was a CBS program,
pies.
By the way. Yeah. Medical Center.
Yeah. That was another good show. But, I remember Mo was on there, and it's just fascinating to see.
Speaking of which, you know, we're at Rick's Martini Bar, and you do not have a seltzer bottle anywhere.
Oh, I don't have a... I actually don't
it's like,
have
you know, you
used to have a
seltzer bottles and cream pies. Just not around anymore.
Go to memory calendars and get a cream pie.
But there's always wrenches. Everybody's got wrenches. So as long as you've got wrenches and hammers and saws and saws, things like that, you're in good shape. It's, those guys were really funny. It's funny because I think everybody... You know, when we started talking about the Stooges, you know, my mind started working, and I'm thinking, okay, favorite episode, you know, favorite shorts, all that other kind of stuff. Everybody has their favorite moments.
What's your favorite short?
It's got to be, I think, Hoi Polloi, where essentially Pygmalion, you know, with the boys. I thought they were always at their best when somebody was trying to force them to be something they were. And it's got some of the best curly ever in it. And they've got, you know, they learn how to dance. There's just all these really good opportunities. In fact, it's got that great dance sequence with Curly and this 7-foot-tall woman.
Right,
where on the spin, he keeps getting knocked to the ground. He's got a spring. stuff to his hands, and just keeps bouncing back. Simple stuff, but it's a great play. And he's stealing the silverware, and Mo knows it.
Yeah.
But it's just really good, you know.
It's
really good stuff. And then Punch Drunks, another great one.
I love Punch Drunks.
Cale Stradivarius. That's one of the unusual ones in that they start of the film, they don't know each other. They normally they were together and they were in the middle of a job or something like that. But in this one, you know, Mo's a broken down old fight promoter, and
Curly's working in
Curly's the waiter, and Larry's this itinerant fiddler.
He just plays in the restaurant for money.
He's playing for a hamburger.
Yeah, right. They don't even know each other. That's right. That's
and then
cool,
and then you know that famous moment where he decides to play Pop Goes the Weasel and Curly sees black and starts killing everybody. That also is one of those rare episodes where you know you see the fact that Larry. You know, played the fiddle because he plays the fiddle in that movie.
Right.
And also, he was a sprinter. He was an athlete.
He was a swimmer. That's another story. He's a pretty good swimmer, too.
We bought this CD of this kid, who called Larry.
And the old folks home.
At the old folks home. Mm-hmm. And he was, I don't know how old he was when he called, but it was the most boring interview I ever heard. But he called Larry. It was after the stroke. Larry had a stroke. And he's asking him, he's like, so, you were a swimmer, huh? And Larry's like, yeah. And then he says, hey, I was wondering if I could call you. I mean, I want to call you next week or next month. And Larry goes, next month.
A couple months.
He was a boxer, too. He stopped boxing because that's why he took up the fiddle.
Right.
That and I guess he burned his arm or something as a kid, you know, and had to, like, recondition his muscles. Mm-hmm. But Larry was very underappreciated,
Favorite student.
I think he was great. I mean, he was
my favorite student.
Always watch him.
Yes, that's right.
Seriously, because usually, look, you know, Curly and Moe and stuff. Just watch Larry the whole time.
Oh, he's great.
Hilarious.
He's great.
He was there to get his hair pulled and to get slapped, but he was also the guy that was the reactor. He was the guy that was the, sort of that glue between Mo and Curly.
Right. Jules White, I'll never forget this line. He said, they were all funny. Yeah, they were all funny. He said they all had suggestions. And, you know, Mo was the leader. He really was the leader. He was the leader on screen. He was also the leader off screen. He was the guy that kept him in line. So he said they all had ideas and stuff. He said, you know, Larry... He said, you know, Larry was kind of a 4-cent nickel. he said the rest of them were 5-cent nickels. But Larry was kind of a 4-cent nickel. I just don't ever forget
that. Well, you know what? He kind of had to be because he wasn't the funniest, he wasn't the toughest, but it wouldn't be the Three Stooges without him.
No, exactly. He played the role he's supposed to play.
Yeah.
I heard when he was older, he had a callus on the side of his face from getting hit so many times over the years. Because when Dorita joined, Dorita had a clause that said he wouldn't get hit.
So
Larry took even more shots once Dorita joined. And apparently he had a big callus from just getting popped.
From Mo
just catching him every single time. Because, I mean, that's the thing. Some of those things you could tell, you know, they were props and they were rubber or whatever. Yeah. Or it was balsa wood.
Smack.
But those hits were real, man. They were getting popped. Yeah. And some of it you could tell didn't feel good, but they just kind of kept going. And that was the job. Mm-hmm. You know? It's interesting.
Yeah, Mo broke his, I forget what short it was. They're cutting a board on it. There's a door. On a couple of saw horses, and Mo's standing on it or whatever, and it breaks and he falls. I mean, he falls like 5 or 6 feet.
Yeah.
And what did he broke something in his back, but they just kept filming.
Yeah.
And he, you know, it's just like that kind of. He said I've broken all kinds of bones.
Yeah.
Filming stuff.
We Curly. Curly broke his leg in Three Little Pigskins.
Yeah.
Well, he broke his leg and finished filming that.
And Larry took a fountain pen to the forehead.
For real?
In Heavenly Days.
Where they were,
the boys were inventing a fountain pen that writes with whipped cream. That's right.
Yeah.
And during the sequence, while they're
don't you have one?
Yeah. They've got this mixing bowl, and the pen came loose, and it went right into Larry's forehead, and he just kept going.
It was supposed to be, plate or whatever. They were supposed to hit, and it missed it.
Yeah.
Instead of when you pull that, blood is dripping.
And if you watch it, you see it hit, and it kind of like hangs there, and you can tell it's like pulling on his skin. It really got
and
him.
And you're like, wow, that's great. What a great stunt.
Yeah. Fountain pen to the forehead.
That would be CGI now they do that. Yeah,
and he didn't call for a cut. He didn't call to stop like a true professional. Right. He keeps moving forward.
You know, Jackie Chan's always the same way, dude. He's broken so many
I've never seen him take
so
a fountain pen in the forehead, though. No,
see, that's the thing. That's
he's
right.
broken enough stuff. Right. I think he's qualified.
Well, we have gone over our time, and I did want to talk about the movie, the Three Stooges movie, but whatever it is, it won't be as good as the original Three Stooges, so it's not even worth talking about, and it's made by MGM, so it's probably not going to be made anyway.
Is MGM still around? I think he's got a phone now.
Yeah,
like in the
they got James Bond, the Three Stooges, and
they have all these properties.
And Lord of the Rings, and they can't make a movie.
Jim Carrey, Curly, what?
So anyway, whether Jim Carrey plays Curly and Sean Penn plays Larry and who is Mark?
Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem.
No,
I'm serious. No, I'm not kidding. That's seriously who they had said.
Let's hope it doesn't get made. Yeah. And we did
I'm sorry. It was Benicio del Toro.
Same thing.
Right. Why split hairs, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Great and Wolfman.
So anyway, let's hope that doesn't get made.
Yes.
Because the original Three Stooges is better than
we've got enough tragedy in the world right now.
even with Joe Besser and Joe DeRita, it's better than with Incoming.
That's right.
So anyway, Grant Anderson, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers.
Cheers.
And,
very fun.
Join us next time for Rick's Martini Bar. And we've got Ken Howard coming up next. So we'll do that. And go to the website, www.mccartymetro.com. It's completely free. So anyway, we'll join you next time. And thank you for joining us at Rick's Martini Bar. Let's go. Three Stooges rock and roll. Put it on the radio. Three Stooges rock and roll.